Well, anyway, welcome this morning as we do gather in this always interesting weather type of time of the year for us. I'm actually incredibly pleased with how many of you have come today, because it's not nice. So I'm very grateful for your presence here, and you get the whole load today. Then I just want you to know what. Yeah. Anyway, how are you, by the way? All right. Let's prepare our hearts and minds now for worship with our confession and forgiveness. We begin today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading today is from Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, verses 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvested from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time and say to him, Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and his outstretched arm with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. The word of the Lord. The psalm this morning is Psalm 91. Please read the bold type responsively. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you will say to the Lord, my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, no evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling. For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion cub and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent. I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know my name. They will call me and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. The second reading is from Romans 10. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Would you please pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks this day for the time to come together as your people, as your children, to be reminded of who we are. We give you thanks for your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first Sunday of Lent is always this story of Jesus being driven into the wilderness. Did you notice who took Jesus into the wilderness, by the way? Who was it? Look. No, it wasn't the devil. The Spirit brought Jesus into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, we hear of Jesus being tempted. Now, temptation. Usually, when we talk about temptation, it's usually a temptation towards something, usually portrayed as doing something we shouldn't do, right? But here, temptation is actually inviting Jesus to turn away from something. And namely, what that is the devil, the tempter here, is inviting Jesus to turn away from his relationship with God and the identity that he has within that relationship. You know, we, as Christians, we oftentimes focus on the shouldn'ts, the things that we shouldn't do. You know, when we look at the commandments, it's the very first words is thou, you shall not, right? But we forget what the you should do's, right? But the very first thing that we think. Now, Sam and Cassidy, they've got the meanings to all the Ten Commandments. They know the shoulds, right, Cassidy? She said yes. you guys can talk about that later. You know, the things that we shouldn't do are oftentimes the point. And instead of pointing us to the gift and grace of our identity as children of God, the devil knows better. Each of the temptations that Jesus had seeks to erode or undercut Jesus' confidence in his relationship with God and undermined his identity. Well, Jesus picks up on this pretty fast. That's why when the devil offers him bread, he responds with an affirmation of trust. Trust in God. The next temptation is about is offering Jesus the power of the world's leaders in return for Jesus' allegiance in following him and worshiping the devil. But again, Jesus knows that his allegiance can only be given to the one in whom his identity is for sure. And finally, the devil proposes that God is not trustworthy and tests Jesus to test that relationship. And I hope, did you notice in here that the devil is also using Scripture? In fact, he used Scripture that we used earlier in the Psalm. Did you notice that? Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. We'll be singing about that in Eagle's Wings here in a little bit, too. But Jesus refuses in that. So the purpose here is for the devil to undermine Jesus' identity and confidence in the relationship between God and himself. In the face of these temptations, what Jesus does is that he quotes the sacred story. I want you to turn in your bulletin to the communion portion. So I did something here in the communion liturgy today, which we don't often do, but there's many different options for us to do, but did this very intentionally today. Because one of the things that we forget when we share communion together is that we're sharing in the whole of salvation story. So if you go to the Thanksgiving at the table, you'll notice that we're not going right to the words of institution, but we're starting out with, "Blessed are you, God of the universe, your mercy is everlasting, your faithfulness endures from generation. You who created the heavens and the earth, praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood, for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea, leading your people through the wilderness, words and deeds of Jesus, death and resurrection of Jesus, and the pouring out your Spirit within that short period of time in those things. Oh, by the way, there's much longer ones too. I could have chosen a really long one. But the thing is, we need to remember that whenever we do this, we are retelling the sacred story. Re-entering this, because that's our identity. That's our identity. And that's what Jesus did. He was rooted in the Scriptures. Jesus is reminded not only that he has enough and is enough, but that he is of infinite worth in the eyes of God. You know, bread and power and safety might just as well be youth and beauty and or wealth or confidence or fame or security. On one level, we experience specific temptations very concretely. But on another way, they are all the same. There are temptations that we have seek to shift our allegiance, our trust, and confidence away from God towards some substitute, something that should take its place, or should take its place, or promises more security. You kind of feel like Darth Vader, you know, that the dark side is. How many here know Darth Vader? And personal friend. You know, the temptation within that whole story is the tempting that the dark side is greater than the light. And they keep having to be reminded that it's not. It promises something that it can't give. Which is why I think this passage is really about identity theft. Trying to take our identity. Not simply the devil's failing attempt to steal Jesus' identity, but all the attempts to rob us of our own identity. If you think about all the advertisements that we see, they're all most of the time saying you'll be happier if you have this or do this or whatever. You'll look better. You know. I was seriously thinking about that cream you put on set. It's supposed to tighten things up. When I first got here, this is just an aside. When I first got here, I went into Walmart, and this guy came up to me and says, "You look like Kenny Rogers." And I go, I didn't know the guy. He just came up and said that. "You look like Kenny Rogers." And I said, "Thank you," but before his plastic surgery. But don't we have, tempting us to purchase things, or we consider the many messages, and we're into that season now when candidates are starting to run for president and all of that, all the things that are part of our news day in and day out, and we're kind of bombarded with that. Actually, we're under assault every single day by tempting messages that seek to draw our allegiance, our identity away from God who created and redeemed us. You know, I sometimes ask myself the question is, what am I called to do? I mean, I know what the paper says. What am I called to do? You know, what's my purpose? And I think that I've come to the conclusion that really my sole purpose with you and whoever is to remind you of your identity, that God loves you more than anything, loves all of us enough to send his son into the world to take on our lot in our life, to suffer and to die, also that we may be God, know that God is with us and for us forever. Identity, our identity. God raised Jesus from the dead in order to demonstrate that God's love is more powerful than all the hate, all the things that would deceive of the world. I've had you do this before with me, and do it with the confirmation kids every week. And that is, I have them say, I'm a child of God. Worthy of love and respect. And God will use me to change the world. I do that so that they remember that they're children of God. But then I also, at the very end of that, I also say, and what's my prayer? What's my prayer? That they will come to believe it. Today, when you come forward for communion, I'd like you to, there's some water in the baptismal bowl here, I'd like you to take your, I would invite you to take and dip your finger, your thumb, whatever, in here, and as you pass by, make the sign of the cross on your forehead as a reminder of your identity as a child of God, who's worth the love that God expends for you. To remember your baptism, that you've been claimed, to remember that you are a beloved child. You know, why do we come to church? Why are we here? I think it has to do that we come to church to have our identity renewed and restored so that we can live confidently in life, assurance of God's care. It allows us to care for those who are around us. You know, God loves us, and God will keep loving us no matter what. And that's what I'm supposed to tell you. That's what I believe. That's why I'm here. I know that I also need to have that declared to me again and again in the face of all these messages that would speak contrary to that. And I suspect that you all need to hear that too. God loves you. Amen.
Famine will bring you no fear. Under God's wings, your refuge, God's faithfulness, your shield, and He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of His hand. Terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though 1,000 fall about you, near you it shall not come. For He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of His hand. For to the angels God's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you cast your foot against the stone. Shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of His hand. And hold you in the palm of His hand.
I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son and our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Seeking the grace and mercy and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the Church, for people in need, and for all creation. Holy and steadfast God, keep your word near to us, planting it in our hearts and communities. Make it blossom into proclamation for all people to receive. Hear us, O God. As you give your spirit freely, so also give bread that sustains every living thing. Graciously feed hungry souls and hungry stomachs with your bountiful provisions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Stir up courage among your people to resist oppressive powers and to lead people into freedom. Shine the light of your justice through their work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hold tightly those who grow weary in their struggle with addiction or temptation. Today especially, remember those who are sick in need. Remember Sue, Ann, Kathy, Phyllis, Lexan, Kevin, Sean, Ann, Libby, Joe, Owen, Bryce, Leo, Sam, Ann Miller, and the family of Marjorie Gussman. By your strength, bear them up to live fully in your presence. Hear us, O God. Teach us the stories of our faith by heart. As you accompanied our ancestors in their uncertainty, so guide us confidently into the future. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray today for those who travel on roads that are snowy and dangerous. We pray for guidance and safe journey. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
When we struggle and are tested, redeem us by the endurance of Christ. Give us steadfast faith to strive for your glory until we witness its fullness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Let's share that peace with one another. At this time. us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Try to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Holy Spirit, for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this cup, bread, and cup, we remember our Lord's passion, Passover, from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The table has been set for you, so come and eat. Take away the sin of the invite you to stand as you're able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace and his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. We'll do the announcements after the sending song there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing our sending song. Seated. First, I want to highlight a few things today. I ask that you, in your prayer concerns, add to our list Ann Miller to our prayer concerned list. We also add our sympathy to the Gustman family, Ernest and Gretchen, on the loss of Marjorie. Her funeral will be Thursday of this week. Today was supposed to be a representative from Luther Park was going to be here. I gave him the day off. The one that was going to be coming was the new program director there, and so we'll be inviting him to come and talk about Luther Park Bible Camp at another time here in the future. Next Sunday, following worship, Lori and I will be doing a presentation on our trip to the land of the Bible during the fellowship time, and we'll be doing it down in the fellowship hall. Okay, just to make sure you knew that we actually did go. Anyway. Lenten worship on Wednesday nights. Our theme is on gratitude, grateful, this coming Wednesday night. 5:30, the meal begins, and 7 o'clock is the service with Holden Village evening prayer. Also, following, trying to be responsible and sensitive to people's time. So choir will be practicing right after worship on Wednesday night, instead of on Thursday. So probably around 7:45. Okay. Oh, yes, the Wonder Wall has returned. Remember the Wonder Wall? That piece of paper out there? Well, we have repurposed. You know, the calendar, the big calendar thing on the wall in the narthex out there? We've repurposed that as being the Wonder Wall. We're going to try it that way. If not, we'll go back to putting a piece of paper on the, you know, in the middle there. But just to kind of start thinking, you know, about your own wondering about, you know, about how you feel God is could move us to do what God's calling us to do here as a congregation, you might say. By the way, where did you see Jesus this week?
In the snowplow.
What?
In the snowplow.
In the snowplows, okay. What?
When I went to see Pastor Jeff.
When you went to see Pastor Jeff.
Yes.
Very good.
He's in the homes
to get through the storm.
One more prayer request, if I could.
Yeah.
If we could pray for the people of Venezuela. My sister-in-law is Venezuelan, and her elderly mother and brother still live there. Whereas 48 hours ago, they shut off all electricity to everybody in the country.
Oh, wow.
They have no drinking water. They have no food. And it's getting really bleak
really
down
bleak.
There. And if people are dying in hospitals because no electricity, so...
Well, there's no aid coming in either.
Right, right. So.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Let's pray. Loving, gracious God, we give you thanks for your presence. And we pray especially now for those who are in difficult situations, the people of Venezuela, who through no fault of their own are caught in the midst of political struggles. Be with those who are in need, Dan's sister-in-law and family, and all those who are living on the edge right now. We pray for compassion and for the aid that's available to be given and to be distributed. We pray that you will soften the hearts of leaders. We pray for hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep, go ahead.
I don't think, since we've gathered, I don't think I need the mic. Pastor let the camp speaker off my excuse today, but I can't do that for our workshop after service that starts at 10:30 because I've already been informed that two of the non-members that are coming to the workshop are going to be here. So those of you who have been participating in this, if you're certainly able, get your schneckies and come around and at least one at schneckies. That's a Christ Lutheran term.
Obviously not long enough.
We'll explain that later. But then we will decide after you've had your schneckies. We'll decide based on who shows up whether we're going to apologize to the outside folks coming in, or just cancel it for today. But I think we may want to move ahead. We'll